CliffCentral.com. Good morning. Let me announce my slate. Deputy President Mabane Moloi.
What it is.
Right. National Chairperson Ben Karpinski.
Hello, good morning.
Treasurer General Siya Sangweni.
Whoop, 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 whoop.
And our Secretary General is going to be Amanda Romberg. Good morning. Good morning. That's my slate. That's not very ANC of me to announce who I'm going to run with.
Very streamlined, Gareth. Very streamlined. Yeah.
You and Deputy President Cyril Ramaphosa are obviously in the same WhatsApp group.
Yeah. Well, we do things the same way. We like to tell people what we're up to, which is very unlike most politicians. You're not meant to do that as a politician. They look at you suspiciously. If you, how dare you be honest with the electorate? That's asking for trouble. What do you want to be honest with those people for? They just vote for you and put you in power in the first place. Huh? Really?
How dare you?
How dare we do that?
You don't owe them anything. You just use them for the numbers.
And really and truly, you should be able to keep your list secret until you figured out exactly which people you have to bribe.
You know? You gotta know how to play this game.
Right.
Cyril.
Stupid Cyril. You dummy. How's everybody this morning?
Wow. I'm not okay, hey?
What's wrong, Mubs?
Well, I got home last night late, after 9.
Yeah?
And
why are you working so late? Which sweatshop have they got you laboring in?
It's a temporary setup. It'll pass. But right. I got home at around 9:30 last night to pitch darkness.
Oh, no.
We are the only complex on the entire street with no electricity.
Oh. What happened?
I don't know what happened. We're going to be getting lots of emails and SMSs today from the body corporate people telling us how so-and-so will be sent out to check out the problem.
So meanwhile, you got home after a long, long, long-ass day.
Yes.
And you couldn't have a shower.
No.
And you couldn't plug in your kettle to make some coffee.
No.
And you couldn't charge your phone.
Couldn't turn on the stove.
Well, it doesn't matter about the charging the phone, because we know your phone doesn't work in that area anyway, because you have no signal.
There we go.
So
well, my WhatsApp still hasn't recovered from last week's outage.
I think you have to move.
How? I don't know.
Mine recovered within 38 minutes.
I mean the WhatsApp outage was permanent for you?
I was receiving messages from everyone, but I couldn't respond to people.
That is so frustrating.
This is not normal.
Yesterday, I got to my other place of employment.
Mm.
As soon as I walked into that building, my WhatsApp notifications shot up to 73. The whole weekend, I had missed communication from people at work.
Uh-oh.
I'm just so tired. I'm tired.
But okay,
I think this is the start of her breakdown.
Can I tell you something? Like, we've got, I know that everybody gets, especially my belly, gets a bit scratchy towards Christmas, right?
Yes.
Things start to wear a bit thin. You remember every other year she has some kind of a tantrum. So let me try. I would humbly suggest the following. Number one, move. Because this place you're staying in sounds like hell.
Right? The only good thing you have going for you is the beautiful neighbor that you have in the complex. Other than that, no.
Oh, yeah, the hot neighbor that you talk. Mm. All right. Number two, whatever network, what is it, like Congo, Congo phone? I don't even know. This network works in Angola. That's it.
I have to wait for my contract to come to an end.
Really? When does that happen?
I think in Feb.
Oh, okay. All right, maybe you can survive. I mean, you've survived this far, right?
Yeah.
Your contract is like this country. When's Jacob Zuma coming to an end? Yeah, I don't know.
You just have to sit and wait.
Sit around.
I would pay out whatever it's worth it until February. You'd at least have communication with people.
Mm. So this morning, I still woke up in the dark, and showering, to say the least, was very interesting.
Cold, right? Shame, Mubs.
It's a hard knock life right now.
That's so horrible. And you know, No one deserves this. This is not how civilized people should have to live. Oh, that's awful. Mm. Okay, I'm not going to complain about a goddamn thing then this morning. Because I woke up, I felt fine.
Oh.
I had some hot water. I must shut up.
You could turn on your lights.
Mavs, if you want, you could take the urn that we used to boil water here. You can take it with you if you want.
Thank you. You know, maybe there are a few areas that I didn't quite get into this morning, so I'll just like...
You think you can connect it to your car?
I think I'll just,
you can run your car battery and it'll boil the urn for you?
You know, you never know. Innovation allows for such things.
But isn't it amazing how, like, bills just come out of nowhere that you didn't expect? Like, this week, I've suddenly been hit by 3 or 4 bills that I didn't know I didn't know that these were necessary payments.
Like what?
Like an auditor's fee. Like, you got to pay your auditor, right? And obviously every year it's a certain amount. This year, for some reason, it's like 8 times the usual. Because he's been doing a whole lot of work on my, you know, tax over the last 4 or 5 years.
And washing your car and doing your garden as well?
Well, you would think so, right? I was talking to Rena, who works with me here at Cliff Central, and Rena and I, you know, we talk about, she says they charged her for a service on her car. They didn't really do any. They changed the oil.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have huge mileage. They didn't replace brake pads or tires or any of that stuff, but it's out of motor plan. She had to fork out like $5,000.
Mm-mm.
just to have it looked at by some car doctor. What's that all about?
I'm convinced.
I think it's people who are trying to take some for Christmas.
It definitely is.
It's like the Metro Police. You know, you can see them like suddenly they care about us all driving in cars that aren't 100% right.
They know we know no better.
Yeah.
So they've thrown all this jargon.
Oh, we'll screw you. You caught us. Okay, we won't. You actually have to argue with these people sometimes because they don't. They think that you won't ask. They think you'll just go, oh, okay, here's the money.
Yeah.
To ask everybody, ask them for a detailed breakdown of everything that they're charging you for at the moment. Because I think there's some skullduggery going on.
There definitely is. One of my friends is very close to a mechanic who works out of Kempton Park. And the stories that mechanic...
Is she all right?
No, it's a guy. And he says the stories that mechanic has told him about the kind of markups that these dealerships put when we take their cars into them.
Well, it's everything.
It's criminal, really.
It's like Eskom as well. I'm going to figure out, because in my distribution box at home, there are 2 geezers, right? And I need to figure out which one I can switch off. Because it's for the guest bedrooms and... So it doesn't need to be on the whole time. I want to switch that off, but I've been trying for the last 2 weeks to figure out which one it is. And I keep switching my one off.
Put a mark next to it and stuff.
No, I've done that, Ben. I'm not that big an idiot. I'm saying that the switches...
You keep switching it off.
No, because it also has an effect then on plugs. So the thing has been wired wrong by the last electrician. So
on purpose.
On purpose.
So you call him back.
Well, this is now 6 years ago that electrician came and put the box in. He's probably dead. You know, these guys don't last a long time.
If he's wiring boxes this badly, you got a point.
Yes, he's definitely dead. Someone says on the WhatsApp line, Mubs must get gas. Well, no, because then knowing that complex, she'd light something and blow herself up. No, please.
I'm not a good contender for gas.
Happened at our complex a couple of weeks ago, Mubs. We were the only complex with no electricity. Turned out that someone switched it off at the main box.
Oh!
That would be annoying.
That will send me over the edge if that's what's happened to us. The whole street was lit last night except us.
That's so annoying. I know a woman who used to, she just had when we lived out on the farm, right? This farm next to us. This woman called Catherine, but we used to call her Kesserin because her husband was German and called her Kesserin.
How old were you?
I was like, I don't know, 11. And Kesserin, she just had a kid and she lived on this farm. And often her husband was away. And, you know, living on a farm on her own, they would sometimes cut off her electricity. Either she hadn't paid the bill or whatever. And she would get up. You remember those sticks that the teachers used to use to open the classroom windows at school? Those long sticks, the hook at the end?
Yes.
She would get up I don't know how she didn't electrocute herself with this. As a pregnant woman, she would get up on the back of like a car, and then she would go to the distribution box on the pole outside their house, and she would switch it on herself when they would switch it off. I mean, that's some serious balls, right? Yeah, how's that?
She's hardcore.
So Kesserin never paid Eskom a cent, and she got electricity her whole life.
Wait, she wasn't German. It was just her husband.
Her husband. If he found out, he would, no, we must pay this electricity. Don't put yourself in danger. She'd be like, ah, please. I got this. She'd climb up and switch the thing on herself. Sure. Now, I don't know that we should be. I mean, with all these things that we've read about Eskom and the Guptas, and we read now about state capture, and we read about SARS being complicit. You mean you just... I've been making my way through this President's Keepers book.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit. The amount of skullduggery and lying and racketeering and fraud and corruption that is going on in government at the moment. We should not be paying tax. Now, I see all these people passing around the PDF of Jacques Poe's book, right? Which he said, fine, if you can't afford to buy the book, you could pass the PDF around. I don't know that you should do that. I think you should buy the book. But what you should start doing, everybody who's passed on this thing, should just say, guys, on when is the next date for filing of personal income tax? I think it's February, right? We should all just not do it. Everybody just doesn't do it. Because if we all just don't do it, then who are they going to go after first?
Well, so far... Yeah, that's the thing, because when they do go after you, like, you get fined. When you don't pay your TV license, you just don't look at an SMS.
Well,
I think SARS is a bit more hardcore how they implement it. So
yeah, I mean,
it's
one of those things.
Like there's a bully. Okay, let's all fight him. The first person goes, cool, everyone's behind me, takes a massive smack in the face. Everyone's like, whoa, okay.
No, we've got to do this together. There's no other way. Because if we...
Yeah, but it's just getting that whole togetherness.
If we can pass around this book and everyone can get so incensed about this... Why are we feeding this rotten system?
Yeah.
Like, someone said the other day, if you could keep the amount of money that you get taxed, you'd almost have double the money.
If you could keep the amount of money you get taxed, you get, yeah.
You'd have double the money at the end of the month.
Ooh.
Know what I mean?
Isn't it because...
Oh, man, that just makes me feel so sad.
Isn't it because we've been conditioned into, you know, governments condition their people.
But we, this is like...
they bully, they oppress.
This is like that Bob Marley line of emancipate yourself from mental slavery. Why are we not emancipating ourselves from this ugly system that's doing nothing for us? Nothing!
I suppose right now it just seems a little bit too scary, but it's worth thinking more about.
I'm telling you, this is... Tom Moyane is sitting there. He's a henchman of this president and the state capture crew. And they are distributing our money to all the wrong places. Don't for a minute start to think that when that finance minister, the guy's posing as a finance minister, what's his name again, Malusi Gigaba, when he gets up in front of parliament and tries to convince everybody that he's going to spend X, Y, and Z here, there, and everywhere, he's brought in this amount of money. It's not his money. It's our money. Now, I'm not saying you should break the law. I think what you should do is open an account that you put your tax money into. Everybody does this, right? You open up an account, you put your tax money into that, legitimate money that you would have paid the taxman, and then you don't hand it over in February, because we all decide not to hand it over in February. Everybody sticks to that. Like, we get together and we stick together. We make sure that this doesn't... What are they going to do? The whole thing will grind to a halt. All these guys will close shop and go home. All of them, because what are they going to do without the income from taxes? That's the only way they can live. They don't have another means of income.
You don't think their pushback could be even more detrimental?
What, are they going to put all of us in prison? They don't have enough prisons.
Well, they wouldn't, because the cops wouldn't get paid, so there'd be no police.
Right. So how would they do anything? They don't have an army, they don't have a police force, they don't have anything. What are they going to do? Like, I think South Africa could be right at the front here. Like, we could be the first nation in the world to free ourselves. We don't need the state. I don't need the state. Think about how many times in a day the state is usually an impediment to my day. I don't need to. What did they give me? I pay for water and electricity separately.
Mm-hmm.
I pay for the roads separately. Municipal roads, you know, municipal laws, municipal taxes. And if any of us paid our e-tolls, which we've learned, we can do it there. We've proven we can do it there. We can sink SANRAL. Watch, this place is not going to last a long time. That SANRAL is going to close down soon. They've got no way of getting this money out of people. And we just said, no, civil disobedience, we're not paying you guys. It's extortion, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if we can do it with SANRAL, we can do it with our taxes. Where do government, what do they do for you on a daily basis that means a return on investment for you as a taxpayer? Name one thing. And I'm not talking if you're a social grant recipient, because those people aren't paying taxes. So they're not getting a return on their investment. They're getting a return on ours. I'm talking about you. What do you get from them? What are they doing for you? Are they keeping you safe from, you know, violent, aggressive Zimbabwe who are going to come over the border and attack us? We don't need that. What are they doing? Keeping SAA afloat? Fine, I'll fly another airline. I'm paying anyway. I'm paying twice. I'm paying once when I actually book my ticket, and I'm paying twice when you bail them out. I don't think that's helping me. What are they doing for you? Come on. Mm. I dare you. Come up with just one thing. Think about what you're paying half or just, you know, let's say a third to a half of your salary for. What are you paying for? If I took a third of your salary, I gave you nothing in return, wouldn't you come at me? You'd be like, whoa, 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 that's January, February, March. You can't have that. What are we getting?
Let's not all jump up at once with these answers.
What? Name one thing. I'd love to hear from you. 0861-555-189. If you want to WhatsApp us, 0797-482090. What are you getting? I'm not saying break the law, but what kind of a value do you get out of being a member of the state of South Africa? What do you get for being a citizen? Nothing that you don't already pay for outside of the system.
I was going to say like a passport, but we've got to pay for that too.
No,
separately.
No, no. Your passport's not valuable or useful if they administered.
I'm scraping the bottom of the barrel here.
Ben, if they administered it better, we wouldn't need visas for so many countries.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What are you really doing it for? Like, let's just, because here we are. We a yes minister. The minister drives past in his blue lights. We're like, oh, got to get out of the way for the minister. Why?
Yeah, but that's a survival mechanism. That's not a courtesy.
Yeah, I'm also trying to think here. I mean,
one thing.
Oh no.
If I don't want to be arrested for driving illegally on the road, then I need the traffic department, don't I, to get my papers in order, my documents, my license, like that kind of thing.
I know loads of people who are driving around, mostly in taxi drivers, who have not got vehicles with legitimate licenses on. Do you really see them going to jail? I don't.
Yeah, but do I really want to be one of?
You are. As far as the Metro Police are concerned, it's you're the same as them until they pull you over and check for sure. Tell me one thing that you get out of government that's valuable to you, that makes it worth being a South African citizen. What document, what kind of, do you get a stipend every month? I don't. You don't. What do you get? Like, what's in it for you? We've been hoodwinked for hundreds of years. It's time to kill it now. It's time for these parasites to go home. There shouldn't be employment in government for anyone. I don't need a Department of Public Works or a Department of Trade and Industry or a Department of Tourism or certainly a Department of Sport and Recreation. The fact that we have to pay for that's outrageous. Sport and Recreation should be for your own account.
Yeah, everything I enjoy and I love, I pay for myself.
Right.
Nope, I don't get free, you know,
what do you need?
Moisturizer from the government. No. Nope.
Well, that would be a bit much.
I buy my own wine.
Yeah, what do you need? No, you don't buy your own wine. You buy wine, and then they tack on like a 60% surcharge because the government needs their share from the wine that you're buying, that you're enjoying, that someone else made, that they have no say in. There's no need for government to get involved in that chain of value at all. What do they give us? Do they give us an incredibly powerful currency that we can exchange for other currencies in the world and make an enormous windfall so we can travel for virtually free? No. costs us more than it costs other nations to travel. What are we getting here is what I'm saying. And why are we being so stupid that we just sit back like sheep? Like sheep. This is like when the French saw Hitler coming over the border and they just lay down. Is that what we're like? How many more hundreds of years? Everybody talks about the struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody talks about fighting colonialism. Everybody fights slavery. Everybody talks about how we need to free ourselves, you know, the Enlightenment. We're still slaves. We're still paying these people taxes. They've still got us. Julius talks about economic freedom. Well, it's available right now. If enough of us decide, we're not part of this anymore. Sorry, not paying for your shit. What happens? It all collapses. And then they have to go home. And you know what? It'll be fine. We'll have just as much crime and corruption. It'll just happen in the private sector. And if you want to get involved in it, you get involved in it. If you don't, you don't. I don't see government rushing to stop that stuff anyway. Someone drives badly, you have insurance, they have insurance, you sort each other out. You have someone walk onto your property and they're not meant to walk onto your property, so you shoot them. That's how
cool,
it'll work. It's worked before.
Well, I mean, it happens every day anyway.
Right. So what are we even getting uptight about? Let's just stop paying. Why should we pay for this crap system to keep going? It's not helping us. It's making a lot of really evil people very rich and making us poorer.
Well, it's helping a lot of evil people stay evil and carry on. That's the most worrying.
That's it. So stop it.
It's perpetuating these cancerous, horrible cretins.
There are adult human beings in South Africa sitting around tables at the moment going, well, if we just voted for the DA or the EFF, it would get better. Or if Cyril wins in the next conference. No, it won't. You morons, they're all the same. All these political parties, they're all just looking for a free ride. And you're going to pay for it.
Yeah, so no matter who's in charge, which political party in charge, you're saying that we need to free ourselves from being the state's bitch.
Right.
But that would create a bit of a power sort of vacuum where gangsters, which are already involved in politics as funders and blessers.
Yeah, they're already in there.
They would sort of then take greater control of things. And then you're at their mercy.
They're already in control of things, evidently.
So stop. I'm telling you, it's this easy. You just say, I'm not paying for your free ride anymore. I have a clip I put up on Instagram yesterday of Nelson Mandela in 1993 when he was running for president. And he said, the gravy train is finished. He was talking about the NP and their corruption, right? He was running against F.W. de Klerk as president of the country. And he said, this gravy train is finished now. No more. I'm going to take a salary cut, he said, if I win. I'll play you the clip just now. It'll blow your mind. Of course, the heirs to that regime, they looked at what Luca was coming in and they were like, oh no, hang on a second. This is a great system. I see why the apartheid government did what they did. Because we can also get really, really rich. And we don't have to worry about the people. Pfft, they're so dumb. They'll just do whatever we want anyway. We'll tell them we freed them because they got the vote. Ooh, the vote. So we can vote other politicians into positions where they can get a free ride. Oh, that's brilliant, guys. Let's keep doing that. Makes perfect sense. And we actually sat there and we went, it's going to be so much better now. like, you have to have your... What did you have? Someone drill into your skull and suck your brains out?
Jeez, you're being a bit harsh with us this morning.
I'm telling you, you got to wake up to this stuff. This is going on. It is blatant. It is obvious. It's not a conspiracy theory because it comes off your account every month or every year twice if you're paying attention. You don't need this. I'm telling you now. I'm still waiting for one person to tell me what value there is. Why we need all of this stuff. Why do we need this huge bureaucracy, the union buildings filled with people, government department buildings, the whole of central Pretoria and most of Cape Town full of government departments? For what? For what? Don't need it. Telling you, shut the whole thing down. It's not working for us. Anyway, we can carry on about this all day, but there's something I just had this realization while reading Jacques Poe's book last night. So if I'm having that realization, chances are other people are too. And you do not have to be a slave anymore. Let's get into the five things you need to know today. Are you ready?
Yep.
You braced yourself.
Yeah.
First things first. It's brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. We love them. That is how you pronounce it, by the way. A lot of people still say Colcacchio. They don't mind. But if you're Italian, it's Colcacchio, which means?
Up yours.
Up yours.
Okay.
Yes. I love that. So next time someone gives you a mouth, they give you lip, maybe you're traveling to Italy, you go, Colcacchio. And they'll go, they'll back away. In Colcacchio Pizzeria, you've got a whole bunch of branches all over the country. You could go to any of those branches and you will find the perfect meal, whether it's a salad, a pasta, a pizza, great Italian-inspired artisanal cooking the way you love it. It's the reason you crave pizza. First thing you need to know today, Robert Mugabe fired his deputy president. He just fired him.
Her?
Emerson. No, it's an Emerson.
Oh,
it's a
why
him.
Did I think that it's a woman?
You're thinking of Joyce Bunda, who he fired ages ago.
Oh, okay.
But he's clearing the way for?
His wife.
That's right. In other news, Rhoda, you know that guy Jason Rhoda, who he's involved?
Spear murder.
That's right. He has, it's been revealed that he had a love triangle going,
mm-hmm.
and that could be one of the motives for why his wife Susan was found dead in the bathroom of their hotel. The day before she died, her husband sent a message to his lover saying she was the one he wanted. And this is the message. It goes, "This weekend made me realize just how much I don't want to be with Sue anymore," mm-hmm. said a text from Jason's phone to his estate agent girlfriend, Jolene Altersky. Read out by data extraction expert, warrant officer Anna Marie van Niekerk. "All I can think of is you. I want to scream with frustration. I don't want anything more in my life than to be with you." Sure.
Then just leave, my
right,
guy. Just
exactly.
Pack a bag and leave.
Right. Stephen Williford says he ran barefoot across the street to find the gunman before jumping into another man's car and giving chase. That's the guy who chased after the dude who shot up that church in Texas on Sunday. A former National Rifle Association instructor, that's Stephen Wilford, who grabbed his rifle and ran barefoot across the street to open fire on the gunman who slaughtered 26 people at a church in Texas, says that he didn't think he was being a hero. He was just doing what came to mind first. He said, "I kept hearing the shots, one after another, pop, 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 and I knew every one of those shots represented someone." So before you tear into the NRA, maybe it's worth having a look at the fact that this guy was an NRA instructor. Mm. And that the guy who did the killing was someone who had a motive. His mother-in-law went to that church. And it was a personal thing. Not just some random killing. Jacques Poe has threatened the state security agency with punitive costs orders. You want to hear more about that?
Sure.
Okay, so he's written this book, and now the SSA are going after him. But he is standing by his allegations in the book. He says he's prepared to seek punitive costs against the state security agency if it approaches the courts for an interdict against him. "Such orders will also be sought against individuals within the agency who instructed you to bring such an application." So he is not backing down. And that's Jacques Poe, the author of The President's Keepers. News24.com reports, two South African celebs could be in hot water after flaunting cash in a viral video clip. And some of these stories I'll get into detail with Mubs later on. But two well-known South African actresses have found themselves in hot water. They were seen making a video, doing the round on social media, in which one of them is pretending to eat a wad of 50 rand notes on a plate in a restaurant.
Casually so.
Yeah. What morons. And that is what you need to know this morning. Get into Ben's sport, which is next. And we'll get into these stories a little bit more with Mubs later on. you know, depends how much depth you require here. But after 7 o'clock, we'll have a proper look at all of them. Ben, what do you got for us today?
Gareth, I've got the biggest golf tournament in Africa. It is the Nedbank Golf Challenge, and it's taking place at the Mr. Gary Play Country Club in Sun City. Now, the great man himself was honored in the a special event last night, being inducted into the South African Golf Hall of Fame.
You know, I often lie in bed at night thinking the one thing we don't do enough is honor Gary Player.
Yeah, so do I, Gareth, but I do my bit here and there. But this is quite a curious story. I mean, why was the Hall of Fame not opened as the Gary Player South African Hall of Fame? Because no one's done any more than he has. So the fact that this has been going for a year or two, whatever it is, and not only now, seems a bit odd. But anyway, he was honored and he was flattered, and everyone came around and celebrated the life of this great man, who is the tournament host this week. So the Nedbank is one of the final events of the European Tour for the year, the big money race to Dubai, part of the Rolex series. It's a full star-studded event with all the credentials, but unfortunately Henrik Stenson will not be there. So when you play big golf tournaments as a pro, like the HSBC WGC in Shanghai, they make you act like a circus monkey. Over the years, they've had the top names in golf literally performing like strippers and just doing all kinds of things, and it's just a mess. So this last year, they had the world's best golfer suspended from these stupid sort of harnesses hanging over Hideki Matsuyama, who was the defending champion. And Henrik Stenson picked up a rib injury on the back of this stupid stunt.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. So he was meant to be the big name player at the Nedbank this week, but he's had to pull out for the rest of the season. Which then means that, well, yeah, look, there's still enough players to go get really excited about. Louis Oosthuizen's finally playing in SA again. Charles Wassel's going to be there. Porridge Harrington, you know, he's always a bit of a crowd favorite. Martin Keimer, he's the ex-world number one. He's won a few majors. And then you've got Tommy Fleetwood, who is the current race to Dubai leader, although Justin Rose is following in very fast there. He's won both times in the last 2 weeks. So it's a decent field. Ian Poulter will be there. Lee Westwood's there. If you like a bit of pale skin golf, then that's probably your go-to. But it's such a great event to go to because of so many things. The heritage, the history, the golf course. It's just one of those places where it's an annual event. And even though it's gone through some changes, it still has massive appeal. So that starts from Thursday. And I think this is the first weekend I'm going to be at home for quite some time. So I'm going to watch the crap out of this. I'm so excited. Just me, meowsers, the couch, cold beers, unhealthy food choices.
Okay, sounds good.
So massive exciting for me.
Sounds good.
And while that happens, there will also be rugby on this weekend. So the box, well, I don't really have any positive stories right now. Rusty Erasmus has left his Irish job. And you would think that seeing as the box are about to play Ireland in Ireland, Alistair Coetzee would consult with him, seeing as Rusty is joining the box setup. No, let's rather chat to him in 2018. So when you look at the box fixtures coming up, we've got Ireland, France, Italy, Wales. I think that's the mix. And look, a clean sweep is on the cards here. The toughest game is going to be this weekend. So that'll be on Saturday at 7:30 South African time. So they need everything they can possibly get. But yeah, it doesn't seem like Alistair Coetzee needs any extra help. He seems to have everything under control. Still not convinced about that. Big other controversy in rugby right now is Chile boy Ralapele being snubbed by the Sharks. So Chile boy was... Many thought that he was going to be the sort of natural selection for captain after John Smith bowed out from international rugby. He played in the same position. He had the great junior career. He had all the pedigree going into it. Didn't happen. He did play for the box on and off. He also got busted for a bit of a doping violation. And then he went into a bit of isolation. He went over to France. Nobody really heard of him. He came back. Suddenly he's back in the box squad. Wow, his career is really back on track. So he was second fiddle to Malcolm Marks in the box squad, along with Mbanambi from Western Province, but you're never going to play in front of Malcolm Marks. He's kind of the best hooker in the world right now, so that's understandable. But what is kind of strange is that he couldn't then go back to his team, the Sharks, where he's suddenly the third choice hooker. So this is the difficult thing about being in the Buck mix. He hasn't played a match since September. So Robert Dupree, the Sharks coach, in his own opinion, rightly so, he's a coach, he's allowed to make this opinion, says that, well, we've got two form guys in the team, we've got finals rugby coming up, I don't want to pick a player who's been sitting on his ass the last 2 months. Even though that guy has been in the box squad and technically is the second best hooker in the country, according to Alistair Coetzee. So, you know, we can be up in arms about this, or we can say, look, it's professional sport. This isn't like a personal thing. A coach is a coach, he's entitled to his opinion. You might not agree with it, but I think we've got to be a bit more respectful of this whole process. But What also comes down to is that are SA Rugby and the franchises really communicating? There was that stupid endeavor which Brendan Fenter quit Italy for. He came in and told everyone what's what. But did anything come from that? Because a controversy like this should not be happening if these guys are working together. It just doesn't seem like they are. If Chilli Boy is not going to get the game time, he needs to go back to his franchise and play rugby. Simple as that. If the franchise believes, well, we don't want the guys out of form, there's something just really, really wrong here. And if the guy's not good enough to get game time, then why is he in the box squad? Because that's kind of what it looks like. Yeah. Anyway, it's baffling, but it's still happening. And there are some horrible rumblings in SA Rugby right now around the franchises. Teams not doing enough for transformation. Teams not communicating with the big SA team. It doesn't bode well for any future times. The Cricket South Africa T20, that takes place from this week on onwards. As we know, that World Challenge Global 11 Destination, I forget the name, but not that I need to remember it, seeing as it doesn't exist. So the CSA T20 Challenge, sans sponsor, as you can see, that kicks off this weekend. So
just the Cricket South Africa. No one wants to sponsor it.
Domestic T20 thing. But because the SA players have bugger all to do until Boxing Day, they will be playing. So star-studded event. Very exciting. This year in the tennis, it's been about it's been about Nadal and Federer. So much so, where are Djokovic and Murray in the current world rankings? It's a good question, my buddy. I'm glad you asked, because they're both outside of the top 10.
Oh, dear.
Poor Rafael Nadal, even though he's currently injured, he's finishing the year at the top. Roger Federer, he's in second place. Then you've got a whole bunch of other people. And Jack Sock has just snuck in there. He's number 9. But Djokovic, he's 12th. Ranked 12th in the world. Andy Murray, he's ranked 16th. 16th in the world. Neither have played since Wimbledon. So this is what happens. I mean, it's what we saw with Tiger Woods. He pulled out, he fell away, he got injured, suddenly he's nowhere. This happens so quickly because sport is competitive. But these two will no doubt come back and come back pretty strong. Kevin Anderson, if you are wondering, he is 14th. He is the South African talent's hope. Everyone think. The Australian Cricket Tour, well, England's Tour of Australia. They're currently getting stuck into some sort of minor teams. But just remember, this is a huge tour. It is the Ashes series. November the 23rd. That's when it kicks off, in case you're wondering. And in case the CSA T20 Challenge doesn't quite grab you as a big sporting attraction, cricket-wise. And final story, Lewis Hamilton seems to be dodging tax.
Oh.
On his private jet.
Oh, yeah. That's a good place to be when you're dodging tax.
But didn't we decide this morning that that's not the worst thing you can do, is to dodge tax?
It's not, Gareth, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, but rules are the rules. And we all saw those footballers trying to dodge tax. They caught up with them. But now, Lewis Hamilton, apparently this is quite a popular scheme with the super rich, is that they buy a private jet, and then they essentially rent the private jet from themselves, and then they claim VAT back on business expenditure, even though they're making these rockstar purchases.
That's clever.
It is clever.
Only people you're screwing are the government again.
It is clever. And look, we're all behind this. I'm just saying what the authorities are saying, Gareth. I'm just trying to give you a through-the-line sporting report here. What they do is that they involve the Isle of Man, which is very tax kind of chilled. And what they do is they buy these things through these little tax havens, and then they kind of put it back up there, and they rent it, and it's all business expenditure. So good for you, Lewis, but at the same time, these dickbags in charge don't like this kind of stuff because they're missing out on millions of pounds every single year. So, well, it might be a bit difficult from here. Also doesn't help that you say, look, I don't have a private jet, I rent one, but then all your holiday pics are you getting lit in your private jet, which you are claiming ownership of. So, Lewis, you know, you've got to play it both ways, huh? That's pretty much it for the sport on your Tuesday.
Thank you, Ben. Right, let's turn our attention to Sia, who's got some words of inspiration for us this morning. Sia, over to you.
So, in the wake of a lot of what is negative in our world right now, there is a group of university students who is doing something absolutely amazing just to spread kindness.
Yeah.
So, this group of students have found a way for community members to bring good into lives of others. And it requires, they say, not more than 10 minutes of your time. So, they are from a student-led Jewish organization that Chabad House, I hope I pronounced correctly, on the University of Kansas campus in Lawrence in America. And they have initiated what they call a Random Acts of Goodness and Kindness campaign, referred to as good cards. So straight after sports, we have yellow cards, red cards. They have the good cards. So they say there's nothing Jewish, Christian, or Muslim about it, and they are just all about kindness. So this is how it really is simple to participate. So volunteers scatter good cards. These are literal cards around the community and campus, and the card reads, "The ultimate credit card which won't burden you with debt. The more you use it, the more you get." So those who find the card then follow...
That rhymed very nicely too.
Hey.
That's very nice.
So they say that those who find the cards then just have to follow these three simple steps, which are outlined on the card. And they all just have to complete the random act of kindness within 10 minutes of finding the card. They then pass the card to the person who was touched by your good deed. And then you share your story using the hashtag #KindnessInYourHands. So, number one, if you're holding this card, this means you get 10 minutes to do the random acts of kindness for someone else. Then after you do the good deed, you pass it on, and then you share your story and inspire others to act. So you don't feel, you shouldn't feel obligated to share your good deeds on social media. One of the students says, "We don't push that too much because we want a genuine act of kindness, not an act that is motivated by the hashtag. We want people to do it for the sake of kindness." So the Chabad House posted it on its Facebook page that students will be scattering 5,000 cards around the city of Lawrence. And that, you know, those 5,000 cards just means that there'll be at least 5,000 acts of kindness out there. So I like this. They close with saying that if these cards can change one person's life for the good and to get someone to do one act of kindness, it's a success. But obviously, the goal is on a much greater scale than that. We want to positively impact as many people as possible, but any positive impact is a success. So I like that this morning. Hashtag kindness in your hands. When you get this, you do something for someone else, and hopefully that'll start a ripple effect.
I like that too. That's very nice.
Yeah. So I like that. Said by Sia this morning, kindness in your card, your hands.
All right. Very nice. Do you do any of these random acts of kindness? Do you remember rec nominations?
Yes. Yes. Well, I try to, and that has been one of my smaller year of yes things. To just try to extend myself as much as possible, just to be nicer. And then sidebar, the year is ending off and I need something to do for my year of yes, for the last 2 months. I think I need to end off with a bang.
Well, you got married. You jumped off the Moses Mabhida Stadium.
You did?
You did a lot of things.
Wait, why did we not get audio or visual proof of this?
This happened at the beginning of the year, Ben.
We did do. We also...
Well, okay, so yeah.
It's been a very long year.
We all have busy lives. Look at me like I've missed out on something fundamental here.
I don't know. I need to place some thought into it.
What are you looking at doing, Sia?
I don't want to do anything crazy anymore, just because...
Well, you got married. What's crazier than that?
Well, as in, like, I'm not about to bungee jump, because what I've also learned this year is part of saying yes is saying yes to no. And I know where my limits are. Like, I find nothing thrilling.
Saying yes to no, what the hell does that mean?
I don't say no often just because I'm a people pleaser.
So using the year of yes to say yes to the idea of no.
Yeah. I say no to stupid things, which I would have gone with in the past.
So yeah, you haven't said no to a stupid thing because you just said something stupid.
Hey. That is such a profound lesson. You should write that down and heed those wise words.
Don't you? I think that makes sense to me. He.
I never used to say no.
So he's learned to say yes to
so
no.
Then why was the year of yes a big thing if yes is all you ever say?
No, Ben. Oh, my God.
Right.
Listen to this. Let's just move
your
on.
Words were, right. I never say
right.
no.
Let's get into an English language discussion with Ben. This is going to put all our listeners to sleep. All right, it's 10 minutes
yeah,
to 7.
All those with ears that can actually process words.
It makes sense to me. He normally says yes. He's a people pleaser. He's learned to say yes to no. In other words, he's allowing no's into his life.
Okay, well, if you want to jump on that bandwagon just to spite me, Gareth,
go
ahead.
No, you're really confused.
You're being
by
very
this.
Literal.
I'm not being confused by this. I'm just listening to what you say and commenting.
All right,
on
enough
it.
Of this.
I don't care.
This is boring.
We're done.
I want to move on. Here's Nelson Mandela in 1993 talking about what he'll do if he's elected as president. Just take a listen and see if any of this kind of strikes a chord with you. Considering where we are now, 20, how many years later?
You're asking us to count.
24 years.
24
this
years
This was recorded
later.
In 93.
Okay.
The guy is not a poor country. As I have said, Our budget this year is 126 billion per.
That was a lot of money back then. That's nothing now. It's a drop in the ocean, right? But it was a lot of money back then. So listen to what he says he's going to do.
We also are going to reorganize the budget, restructure the budget, in order to avoid the wastage of a party. We will be able to use the resource, the country's resources, in a more efficient manner, and to prevent the corruption which is so endemic in the National Party government.
Please, ladies and gentlemen.
The gravy trains where most of the funds of the country have gone have come to an end. We have committed ourselves to leaders trying to lead a style of life similar to those of the community.
We're committing ourselves to a standard of life for our leaders that is not different to that of the community. I mean, doesn't that make sense? Isn't that what politicians should be doing? Again, in response to the whole discussion that we had before 6:30 this morning, if leaders were doing that, then of course we'd keep them in business because they'd be living the same way we were and they'd be doing things for us. We'd be only too happy. Sure, you want to administer things? Go ahead. You're going to make the same amount of money that the average South African makes. You live the same kind of life the average South African lives. No one's better than anyone. Wouldn't that be something?
I am going to suggest that my own salary, if I'm elected as state president, must be cut. I am doing that, unlike the National Party government, which has attempted to pay large sums to the director generals when the poor people, when there are 5 million people unemployed, when there are 7 million people without housing. We are not going to live like circus. My friends in the National Party can do that. That's what they know.
Mr. Declan,
how do you like that, huh?
What do you think of that? I mean, I watched that and I suddenly thought, you know, somewhere there was, even now that sounds really good compared to what they'd had before and to what came after. So, like, we know what to do. It's not as if this is a rocket science. There it is. If we'd just done that, just stuck to that, we would have been fine. Read an interesting article about Cyril Ramaphosa and why he chose Naledi Pandor as his running mate. And that's kind of interesting. You can go and see that on Business Live. And there's also a fantastic article by Ronnie Casrals. A story.
Who's that?
Ronnie Casrals used to be our Minister of Intelligence. He's an ANC stalwart, a veteran. And for a while, I think he was even Minister of... he might even have been Defense Minister for a bit. I'm not entirely sure. But he went out with the Thabo Mbeki administration. And Ronnie Casrals was involved in guerrilla operations with Jacob Zuma. The two of them were crossing the border from Mozambique into Swaziland once. And Ronnie twisted his ankle while they were climbing over fences and, you know, hiding behind bushes and running across fields and all kinds of things. And he tells this really interesting story about what kind of a man Jacob Zuma was as a comrade in that field, and, you know, how they did so much together. And then he comes in at the end with a story about how he realized back then that this guy wasn't all he was cracked up to be. He was deceitful. He was one person to your face and another person behind your back. I mean, it's a personal story. And I can't help thinking that if I read that about me, I would be hurt, but that the president won't care. I somehow can't imagine him suddenly developing a conscience.
Mm-mm.
you know. So there it is. When we come back, we'll check in on some news just after 7 o'clock. CliffCentral.com. I hope you're off to a good start today. It is Tuesday. And we're here to look after you between now and 9 o'clock. Some interesting stuff coming up a little bit later on too. Stick around. And if you want to get hold of us, you know what to do. All you have to do is WhatsApp us on 079-748-2090. Or if you'd like to call, 0861-555-189 is the number. Right? Got it? Beautiful. Very nice.
CliffCentral.com.